It was great, wasn't it? I'm just going to share. Jed actually rang me this morning about 6 o'clock, woke me up and asked me if I could share a few thoughts this morning. So I'm just kidding. He didn't actually. But I'm just going to share a few thoughts, something I'm really passionate about as a follower of Jesus. And it's awesome at this time of year, Christmas, to come and celebrate what it is about that we're celebrating here. And I just want to spend a little bit of time and just share a few thoughts about something that's really passionate to me. And if you're new to the church, if you haven't been here before, welcome. If maybe you've been here a couple of times before, but here we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And it's not just words that are written in a book, but it's actually the living Word of God. And it has the potential to absolutely change our lives from the inside out. And that's what I'm passionate about. That's what we're passionate about, that the Bible isn't just a good book full of stories, but it's actually living, it's actually powerful, and it actually changes us from the inside out. And that's been my experience. A few years ago, I grew up familiar with church, but there was a moment in time where I no longer doubted the existence of God. I no longer even doubted that he had a plan for my life, but something changed on the inside of me, and it's awesome. It's awesome. You know, I wouldn't be up here today speaking unless God had done something in my life. I don't like people. Actually, I do like people. I don't like getting up in front of people. And I was reading something the other day that said that people are actually afraid of some pretty weird stuff. The reality is that most people would prefer to be 6 foot underground with rats running over them in the dark than actually stand up in front of people and give a talk. Does anyone agree with that? Yep. People would actually prefer to, on the statistics, people would actually prefer to face a terminal illness and get up and stand in front of people and give a talk. And it's amazing. Public speaking is a thing like that. So naturally, I wouldn't be up here unless God had done something in my life that I'm passionate about and that he's changed. It's a privilege to stand up here today and give a few thoughts for a few moments before we go next door and get the party started. Something at Christmas, something at this season of Christmas that smacks me in the face all the time is this time when God, 2,000 years ago, he proclaimed to the world through his son Jesus. He proclaimed to the world and he said, Jesus, he's sending his son. His name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amazing. That 2,000 years ago, God proclaimed, he declared to the world that God is with us through Jesus. And it's amazing the fact that 2,000 years ago, Jesus came so that he could be with humanity. Let's just think about that for a second. God with us. God didn't just declare this to tease us about something that is never possible. God didn't proclaim that he was sending Jesus to be with us, to proclaim something that was never attainable. God with us, God with humanity, God with you. Not just God with the special people in this world, the highly educated, the rich, the famous, but God with you and me. Amazing. God is now with us. For those that don't know, myself and my wife, Rach, we have 2 kids. And our daughter, Mia, who's just over 2 years old, she loves her daddy, but there's something she doesn't like about her daddy. Or one thing that I know of. And I'm sure I'll find out more things as she gets older and she'll tell me. But there's one thing at the moment that I know that she really dislikes about me, about her daddy. And oftentimes we're at home, we're playing, we're doing stuff that you do and having an awesome time. But there's one thing she absolutely hates about me. It's not my burping, not my farting. She still thinks that's funny. But there's one thing that she hates. And what she hates is when I pretend to be asleep. When we're playing or something and I pretend to be asleep, she gets really frustrated, really aggravated with me asleep. To the point where she hits me on the head, she screams in my face. And oftentimes, I'll doze off for a nap, and I'll wake up very quickly to a little girl who's animated that daddy's fallen asleep. It upsets her. Sometimes, when I'm watching the football, watching the cricket, I get consumed with the TV. And all of a sudden I realize that someone's pounding on my leg. They're screaming at me because I'm not giving her the attention that she wants. And Rach is oftentimes doing that as well. But Mia, she can't stand it when her dad is disengaged with her. She can't stand it for a moment when all of a sudden my attention is moved to something else. She absolutely hates it when I lie down, when I sleep, when I do something that is taking the attention, my focus away from her. And God, 2,000 years ago, He declared to all of us, all of humanity, that God is now with us. You see, God is not going to go to sleep. His focus is not going to change from you. He loves us. Even while the elections in America were on, we don't have to fear that somehow God has forgotten about us. We don't have to fear that somehow God is preoccupied with something else. He promises that God is with us. Matthew 28, verse 16. Quite a familiar passage, but I just want to read a couple of verses this morning. This is when Jesus has been doing a fair bit of time with these guys that He's called His disciples. And He's lived with them. He's been doing life with them for ages, for 3.5 years. He's crucified, what we celebrated Easter. He's now been risen from the dead, and He comes and says some final words to these guys before He ascends to heaven. Now, you would assume that whatever He's going to say is going to be pretty important. Verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.'" And then at this point, Jesus' final words, He says, "And surely I am with you always, even to the very end." Jesus' final words, the most important things He could say to these group of people, to humanity, was, "I am with you always, even to the very end." This is the hope we have at Christmas. This is the hope that we have. This, in a nutshell, is the message of Christmas, that we have a hope that Jesus will never leave us, He will never forsake us, and He's with us even to the very end. There's a verse in Hebrews that says, Jesus, God will never leave you nor forsake you. And in the message, it says it great. It says, God will never let you down and he will never walk away. Jesus will never let you down and he will never walk away. This is the hope we have, especially at this time of Christmas, that no matter what we're going through, no matter the stuff in life that's pretty ordinary right at the moment, Jesus, God has come. He will never let us down and he will never walk away. This is the promise. This is the hope that once God was seemingly afar off, but 2,000 years ago, he declared to humanity that God is now with us. It's intimate, it's personal, it's relational, that the creator of the universe is now with us. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? As we stop and think that God is with us, perfectly displayed in the person of Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, but Ben, you don't understand my experience. My experience isn't a God who is with me. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, well, that's fine for those people, but you don't understand the things I've gone through. You don't understand how I've tried to be good enough to get to God, but things just haven't worked out. There's another verse here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. It says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. It doesn't say if anyone attends church 52 times a year. It doesn't say if anyone's just good enough. It doesn't say if anyone's just born into the right family. It doesn't say if anyone's financially well off enough or educated enough. It says if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is Lord, God will actually come through this promise of Jesus being with us and actually live on the inside of us. Amazing promise. Amazing promise. Once again, God didn't say this to tease us. He didn't tell us this so that we could always live with something that was just out of our grasp. He told us this because it's the truth. He told us this because his heart is a heart full of love for us. And he longs to be in relationship with you. He will never let you down. He will never walk away. Kim, if you could just come up now as we finish up. We're gonna sing a song shortly as we finish the service in 5 minutes. But what an awesome promise. Today, as you're here enjoying the Christmas season, as you've watched the play, as you're doing your Christmas stuff at this time of year, I want you to remember that God will never walk away. He will never let you down. Whatever your experience is, he will never let you down. That verse in 1 John says, whoever, through faith, accepts Jesus, believes in Jesus, then God will actually come, which is the most amazing gift, the most amazing transaction that could ever happen. Isn't it ironic that we give him our sin and we get his mercy? We give him our sin, our failures, and he gives us love. We give him our life and we get his. The person of Jesus living on the inside of us. He will never let you down. No matter what your experience is, he will never walk away. One of the guys who knew this more than anything in the Bible is a guy called Paul. And Paul wrote a heap of the Bible. And he had an amazing experience one day when he was riding along on his donkey and he was literally knocked off by God, and God spoke to him in such a profound way. But one day, Paul, after this experience, he's traveling around. He's sharing the love of Jesus Christ to people. And he finds himself with one of his mates in prison for telling people about Jesus. And in Acts chapter 15, it says that Paul and his mate Silas are in prison. Now, we often know about this story, and oftentimes we've read stuff in the Bible and it's more poetic, it's more historical than we actually believe. Because oftentimes we've heard this stuff a little bit, it becomes more of a historical account, more of a poetic story, and we miss the reality of this. The Bible says that Paul and Silas were stripped naked, they were beaten by rods, and scholars believe that in this prison they were up to their waist in sewage. This is not a poetic place to be writing the Bible. But here, Paul and Silas, they find themselves, they're just ordinary blokes. Just ordinary guys. Just like you and me. They find themselves stripped naked and in sewage up to their waist. And I'm a bloke, I know I prefer to wear clothes than be naked. I don't prefer to sit up to my waist in sewage. And these are just ordinary guys who are following Jesus. But yet there was something about Paul that all of a sudden, in this circumstance, in this condition, he starts praising God. He starts singing praises to God. And as I was thinking about this thought this morning, I thought, this guy Paul, he had really grasped this whole thing about God being with him. You see, the thing about Paul was that the reality of God in him was greater than the reality of his circumstance. The reality of this God who had come and lived inside of him was greater than this stuff that was up to his waist. Maybe today you've got stuff up to your waist. Maybe there's financial pressures and it's just getting too deep with circumstances. Maybe it's a crisis in your health. A sickness. Maybe it's relational issues. I just want to invite you to allow Jesus to come in amongst all that, to live on the inside of you, so that the reality of God living inside your life is greater than the circumstances around you. This is what he promises. I would love to stand up here today and say that if you come to Jesus, your life will be great. You'll never have to worry about another bill for the rest of your life, another sickness. But that's not what the Bible says. But the promise in all this is, while we've got junk and circumstances that aren't favorable up to our neck, we've got this awesome promise that was declared 2,000 years ago that God is with us. Why don't we all just close our eyes as we finish up and pray this morning? I'm just going to pray a simple prayer, and maybe you've never accepted Jesus into your life. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to Him. Maybe you've been in church, but for whatever reason, you've been away from God. You've grown away from God by circumstances, by things that have happened in your life. He will never give up on you. He will never let you down. And He will never walk away. So this morning, I just want to include you in a prayer. A prayer that says to God, I give you my sin. And He just pours in mercy, love, forgiveness. This thing we called salvation, which means we can stand before God right. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus has done in our place. We're just going to finish up now with a prayer. If you want to be included in this prayer, while everybody's closing their eyes, if you just raise your hand, I just want to include you in this prayer. Maybe you've walked away from God and today's the day that you come back and say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Just raise your hand quickly and put it back down. I want to include you in this prayer. Today's the day. Today's the day where you experience the love of God in such a way that your life will be transformed. That you can know this hope, this peace. That He will never leave me. He will never forsake you. If that's you just once more, just raise your hand and put it back down. Yeah, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else want to say for the first time, Jesus, change my life. Change my life. When we die, when we stand before God, that is not the time to be making a decision for Him. The decision time is now. We have the privilege to say yes to Jesus. Just quickly across the room once more, if there's anyone else. Yeah, amen. Anyone else? Maybe you're feeling, maybe you don't understand about God, but there's something inside of you that's feeling, this is just right. God's touching your life, and today's the day where you come back to that place of just giving Him your life. Just quickly before we go, anyone else? That's awesome. That's awesome. Let's all pray together. Just repeat this after me. Jesus, I give you my life. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. And today, I choose to live the rest of my life for you. Thank you for sending Jesus. Amen. Why don't we give those people a hand that made that decision? That's awesome. Awesome. So good. Kim, why don't you lead us in the song before we go? Why don't we all stand? Why don't we all stand and celebrate this morning what He's done for us at this time of Christmas?